Advance Mass, 70 degree weather coming to an end, unfortunately. It's heating season, folks, so here's a question. Is your home's heating system running like an all-star, or are you relying on the same old system that barely made it through last winter? Rodenizer Home Services is now offering free quotes for new heating systems, and with over 5,000 five-star reviews, 0% financing, and next-day system installations, Rodenizer will get your home into the heat zone to enjoy all winter long. Plus, 2020 rebates up to $10,000 off are available, but are expiring soon. So don't wait and find yourself in the cold. Act now. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, let's get to some phones with Bedard, as promised. Here's Randy in Medford on the Patriots and their quarterback search. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, so I just had a quick question for y'all. We all know that some key free agents would go to New England, obviously, because Brady was there. If this team goes 9-7 or 10-6, would that be enough for some key free agents to be like, listen, this is what they did with some bums on the team. What if they actually get some weapons on there? We can actually make some noise in this league. What do you guys think about that?
So my opinion is you're just whistling past the graveyard. If they pay and offer playing time, they'll be in for free agents. Okay? I mean, that's just the way it works. They won't get anybody a discount like they might have in the past with Brady. But if they want to pay and promise playing time, they'll get any free agent that any other team could get. So that's just my opinion on that, Greg. I don't know what you feel about that.
Felger, you're 100% correct.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Randy, I respect the question. But this is not the NBA, where pretty much the money's the same all over the place and you're just looking for whatever you're looking for. Like, this is the NFL. Pretty much 95% of the time, the player is signing whoever gives him more money, more guaranteed money, more years. Also, playing time factors into it. The agent will say, I think, you know, this is a better chance for you. People were not coming here because of Tom Brady. Yes, there were a few people at the end of their career who had made their money. That wanted to. I mean, but look at Stephon Gilmore. He ain't sticking around. Like, he wants his bag. He wants his final bag, and he knows it's not going to be here, so he'll probably be somewhere else next year.
Okay, you just hit on it. What's going on with Stephon Gilmore?
Well, I think that there is some drama going on behind the scenes. Now, I will say this. This is 100% true, is that I've talked to people around the team, and Gilmore has been there rehabbing and working his rear end off the past couple weeks. So he is doing his part. Now, I don't think that eliminates that there's shenanigans going on. Stephon Gilmore, better than anybody, knows how to play the game. Same with his agent, Jason Shiat, who is excellent. He's an excellent agent, has been for years. These guys know how to play the game. They played the game this summer. That was a informal holdout. He got his money. He wanted a contract extension, or he wanted to be traded. He wasn't traded. He's acting out a little bit, but he will do his part. He is not, I don't think this is going to be, Gilmore's never going to put, I don't think he's ever going to put the Patriots in a circumstance where they have to put him on do not report or anything like that. He is going to do his job to a point. He's going to, when he gets out there, he's going to perform because he needs to get that next contract extension. But I would say that it's fair to say that he might be taking his time a little bit. But again, that could also be a business decision where it's, look, you guys aren't giving me a contract extension. You didn't trade me. So why am I going to go out there on a less than 100% knee if I could tear my ACL and never get another contract again?
So, Greg, when you say he'll go out there and he'll perform, up until this injury, if you had to give him a grade for the season, what would you give him?
For a normal cornerback, I would say a B. For him, a C.
Okay, so again, see, I don't think he was performing in the early part of the year, and this is what worries me, is that, and I'll go to the San Francisco game, because we talked about this with you, where he didn't look like a guy who wanted to engage in run defense, and if his primary interest, Greg, is self-preservation, to get to the next market and get his next contract, then is he going to lay himself out there to make plays like he should?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a valid point, but I think that the Patriots are going to be in a tough spot because I don't think Gilmore and his agent are not dumb. Like they're not going to do anything to the point where the Patriots could put them on, you know, do not report, or they could fine them or send them home, that kind of stuff, because then that will also affect their price tag after the season. So I think Gilmore's going to have to balance performing on the field and getting what he wants, but I think also he's gonna milk this, I think, until he's 100% healthy. And could he play right now? Like if he was making $20 million a year for the Patriots right now, do I think he would have been out there on Sunday night? Yeah, I do.
That sucks. That bugs me. They gave him $5 million this year, right?
Yep.
So they took care of him this year. What's your problem? Like that, you know, that bugs me. Anyway, Ryan and Bill Ricker, thoughts on Chase Winovich. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I don't think Chase Winovich is going to last. You got him talking about eating elephants and, you know, not knowing what the hell he's doing out there. So, you know, I don't think he's going to last. But I have a question for Greg. How do we get the pass rush to be better? Because it's pretty bad. And is he our best pass rusher?
Yeah, so it's a good question, Ryan. What happened with – I know they don't have great individual pass rushers, not that they ever really have. But they were able to scheme it up last year for sure and in the past. So where's that gone?
A lot of it is the lack of decent defensive linemen that can get movement. I mean, a lot of it has been they haven't been able to get the game on their terms. I mean, you pass rush the best, including last year when they were the best defense in the league, according to Football Outsiders. Now they're the last defense in the league, according to Football Outsiders. By, you know, stopping the run on first and second down and getting to third and long, then you can do everything you want. This team cannot get to third and long.
Got it.
That's the biggest problem with the pass rush. But secondly, it's the defensive line not getting movement so that guys can get through, and also inexperience in the front seven overall.
It's so true, though. In so many of those games, they didn't even put anybody in passing situations.
Nope.
So it starts on first and second down. Kevin in Cambridge. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, Greg, I love listening to you on Tuesdays and getting your analysis of the game, but did you huff paint before you got on the Zoom today? Because the idea that there's no one else in the AFC that the Patriots couldn't compete with is delusional.
I loved it.
And secondly, I liked what I saw out of Damian Harris the other night, but can we stop talking about this guy like he's Walter Payton? Like, what happened, Felgie? All of a sudden, the running back matters? What's going on?
Oh, no, I said yesterday, keep your mouth shut, don't ask for any more money, because we'll just get the next guy. And all due respect to Damian Harris, but again, seems like a fine person. This is not to besmirch him in any way, shape, or form. He is just a running back, and there's another one where that came from, which is just, again, another example why if you have drafted high or pay for it, you are stupid. So you may have missed the take yesterday. I just gave it to you again. So, but Greg's point about who in the AFC on the road in an empty building other than Kansas City, you know, terrifies you, I'm with you, Greg. Nobody. And yes, Pittsburgh on paper should be that team. The coaching mismatch is still massive. I'm sorry. I mean,
yes.
That's literally that matchup where Belichick's playing chess and the other guy plays checkers. Now, maybe that Tomlin's pieces, his players are just so much better that it doesn't matter that they're on a different plane. But that is one of those coaching mismatches that evens the playing field. And without a crowd, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have the quarterback to make it happen anymore, though. That's what the issue is.
I don't know. You do it a different way.
How?
Who knows?
The boring way.
That's how Bill comes up with it.
Yeah, again.
That's Bill's job.
But I think the way to beat the Steelers is to do what the Patriots historically have done. Spread them out. Let the quarterback identify the mismatches and pick them apart. You don't have the quarterback that can do that.
That's
now.
You from your couch. Where Bill comes up with something else. This is the whole deal.
Yeah, he doesn't have the quarterback to pull it off.
This is why you have Bill. So he can outcoach a guy like Mike Tomlin and overcome the talent gap.
But, by the way, for the record, most of the time I huff paint on Wednesdays, not Tuesdays.
I thought you just did whippets.
Exactly.
David,
but in terms of what Kevin, you know, look, he makes a valid point. I mean, I did forget about Pittsburgh. I forget about them often because of the coaching mismatch. I don't think the Steelers offense is all that good. I think the Patriots can frustrate them if they can get a little bit better stopping the run. I think offensively, yes, they would have trouble in that game, but I'm not saying that the Patriots should be favored over anybody on the road in the postseason. I'm just saying, Who is really going to distance themselves from the Patriots? I mean, I think against every team, including the Steelers, outside of the Chiefs, if they come to play that day, I think that the Patriots can make it a fourth quarter game, and then who the hell knows?
The Steelers, I just can't help the history either.
How many times overhyped? Bags are packed. Yep. Pib, the Blitzburgs. And you go and you hit him in the mouth. And, you know, I've just seen that team suffer that thing so often. I'm with you, Greg. Again, don't give up on it. I didn't forget about Pittsburgh. David in New Bedford. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I was wondering. It seems like the last two games, Jacoby Myers has shown a little bit of something, and I wondered what your thoughts are on him. Thank you.
Okay, Greg, when is someone going to commit to stopping Jacoby Myers?
That's a sentence I never thought we'd
right?
uttered on this show. I assume it will happen pretty soon. Not Houston, because, you know, Romeo Crennel is not on the ball that much to do that. So somebody at some point. But look, Jacoby Myers is a good player. He's a good story. If you're any sort of NFL offense, he's a number three. And that's where I think he is for this team. He will be in the future. But I want him around. He's a good player. He rounds you out. He'd be a good number three. But that's about the max I want to go with Jacoby.
All right, we've got 10 questions with Bedard. Let's break early so we can get in all of those questions in a timely fashion right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Football is in mid-season form, and there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. To celebrate Week 11 of the football season, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So, download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Again, enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Code SPORTSHUB, only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Wonder where Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we've given ourselves an extra minute, but we still got to be on time. Jimmy, what are our options this week?
Red Sox are ruined.
Thank you, Roachy.
You suck. This sucks. Everything sucks. Patriots, no chance of winning another Super Bowl. How the heck are they going to do that? Their defense is still susceptible. They haven't faced a good quarterback. Nothing.
Again, Roachy doing Felger and Maz. Continue.
I'm scared of everybody in the NFC, Mike, except Detroit, Mike.
Next. Maz being a dog for some reason.
But if it means you're going to suck after that, no, I'm not doing it. I'm done with sucking.
Famous last words. Moisten the balls in Colorado and Arizona, places like this, because of altitude, they would dry them out to deaden them.
Apparently Arizona is a bad place for that, too.
Right. Dry balls. Continue.
No. Is it no every time? No. It's always no.
That's what I should say. Anytime I suggest an interview. Continue.
Whoa.
Don't put that in my mouth. Anymore?
That's it.
Hit it. Whoa. Don't put that in my mouth. Number 10. What facet of the Hail Mary in Arizona stood out to you the most there, Greg Bedard?
Bill's Mafia crying in their Zubas.
He hates the Bills and their fans.
Oh, he does. He can't stand them. No. I remember the catch. I thought, you know, DeAndre Hopkins made the play. Three guys around him outjumped him, held on to the ball with someone trying to rip it out. To me, it was about the catch.
Kyler Murray evading pressure and getting that throw off accurately while off balance. That's the most underrated part of that whole thing.
At a dead sprint to his left. Incredible throw. But what stands out to me is going back and watching it, the Bills and their defenders covering the flat. Go back and watch. You know, they had three guys back there, but they should have had six. You know, they had guys double-teaming the running back in the flat, covering the tight end at 10 yards. Like, guys, what are you doing?
Didn't want to give up a first down.
This is the last play of the game. Like, what? The defense was just incredibly stupid, I thought. Next. If there is anything to prevent you from being all in on the Dolphins, Greg, what is it?
No question, it's their offensive line and also the fact that they start Ted Karras at center.
So offensive line. So this is why we asked Greg, because I can't see a discernible thing to not be in on, but I don't pay attention to the offensive line.
I mean, I think they've had trouble running the ball. Go ahead.
They smell. They're awful.
He's had problems with snaps, right, too, Greg? I think.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say inexperience at quarterback. It's a lot to ask for a guy to take you on a run 10 games into his career or whatever it's going to be. He can play, but he's still young.
I said coach is getting tape on Tua.
Yeah, so that's, you know, eventually he's going to have to, someone's going to counter him, and then he's got to figure the counter to the counter, and, you know, that has to still play out. But I like the offensive line. I'm going to stick with that. Next.
You suck. This sucks. Everything sucks. Patriots, no chance of winning another Super Bowl. How the heck are they going to do that? Their defense is still susceptible. They haven't faced a good quarterback. Nothing.
And number eight, who do you like in the NFC East there, Greg?
If I had to pick one team, the Eagles. Only because I went to Football Outsiders and they have them as a 48.7% chance to win. Other than that, that whole division can go into the ocean.
Giants. I think the Giants are the only team in that division that's getting better. The rest of them are either staying the same or getting worse. And I think the Giants are going to win that division by going like 6-10.
I'm with Maz. The Giants, Joe Judge might be a hard-o douche with the way he talks, but that team plays hard for him. There's four games they lost within 4 points. They only got blown out once, and that was by San Francisco.
I was going to ask, are there finally a couple coaches from Belichick's tree that are figuring it out? Miami, Flores, and this guy?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Flores, I'll give you. I'm not giving you a judge yet.
Go ahead, Greg.
I think we thought that about, you know, Bill O'Brien for a long time, too. Let's let it all play out.
Okay, I like that. Next.
I'm scared of everybody in the NFC, Mike, except Detroit. Mike.
Number seven, over under. Games played for Antonio Brown in Tampa the rest of the season. Two.
I'm going over with four.
I'm going over. He's playing the rest of the year.
Your thoughts on this latest, Murray or anyone?
Yeah, I say over. He smashed a security camera and threw a bicycle. Who cares? Those are two things that also make most people angry, so I don't blame him. Turn a blind eye, let Brady have his binky.
Okay.
I'm with Murray. I don't think there's enough there yet, and I think he's going to be on good behavior.
As long as Giselle doesn't revoke his pass access, guest gate access, they should be okay.
He's not going to make it. Do you understand why he smashed the guard gate and threw the bike and smashed the camera?
Yeah, they wouldn't let him in.
Well, no, because he had been put on some sort of probation with the gate to begin with. Because he was such a pain in the ass and such a problem, or was letting in such cretins or something, where he had to have this special gate thing where he actually
Tony
had to come to the gate to let the guy in. They wouldn't let the guy in. He smashes the camera, chucks the bike at the guard gate, breaks the thing. Then he storms into the rental office, if you will, or the security office or something, like the gated community's office, starts calling everybody a racist, ranting and raving. Like, oh, he ain't going to make it. He's not going to make. He's not capable. He's not going to make it. I don't care what kind of tranquilizers they have him on. He's not going to make it. Next.
No, 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 no. Is it no every time? No. It's always no.
That's the answer the next time you say we have Terry Bradshaw for a phone interview. Number six. We had a caller ask us this yesterday, Greg, so we're going to ask you. Cam Newton or Tyrod Taylor?
It's a good question, and I had to think about it. But I went with Cam Newton because of I want a quarterback with a little swagger, somebody who has some power in the locker room. I just while I respect Tyrod and I think he's a very good leader, I just think he's too quiet for me.
With Belichick, Tyrod Taylor will make mistakes. Again, you know, if you look at his career, 24-21, he's played for garbage teams, first of all. 24-21, he's got 54 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. His rating is 89.5 on garbage teams. You give him a real coach, he won't screw up.
But with starts, 47 starts, just 18 picks. Give me Tyrod Taylor all day long.
Absolutely.
Great number, Murray. Absolutely. Tyrod Taylor's the answer there. Next.
Red Sox are ruined.
Number five. It's a tool bag question. We know who the biggest tool bag is with the Houston Texans, and that would be Jack Easterby, your former character coach and chaplain, who bugged out on you, tried to steal Nick Caserio, has pulled an Al Haig and a Palace Q down in Houston's taken over the franchise. Like, I think you know the backstory on Jack Easterby. Greg knows a lot of details on Jack Easterby. So, tool bag question. Just give us a few details that describes just how big of a tool bag this guy actually is.
Well, everybody knows this, but I just had this thought that, look, he hired an agent when he was the character coach of the Patriots. Can you imagine Bob Lamont, or whether it was Easterby, going to Belichick and being like, yeah, for my next contract, you need to talk to my agent. Like, Belichick must have been like, get the hell out of here. Like, that must have been interesting. But, you know, somebody from the Patriots that I talked to when I wrote that story on Easterby that mentioned that this could happen, I still didn't believe it was going to happen, this whole you know, coup down in Houston. But, you know, a Patriots source telling me that Jack likes power, and even more than that, he likes being around power. And that's sort of how he got where he was, whether it was from college, jumping to the pros with Pioli and the Chiefs, and then, you know, the Chiefs getting basically everybody being fired there, so he had to find a way over, and he went to the Patriots. Just, I don't know, it's just something unseemly about all that stuff.
This guy's amazing. He is.
He's going to end up like the Jeffrey Epstein of the NFL and tell you he's got something on these guys. I don't get it. It makes no sense. If you listen to that path, it makes no sense that he's had this rise to power.
I think he's like one of the great con men in American history. That's what it feels like. A con man. Like, aside from, I don't know if there's anything felonious going on there, but what a con man. Wow. This guy's got some serious juice.
Didn't he fire the longtime PR gal down there?
Yeah, Amy Palsik, who's probably the best that I've ever dealt with in the NFL. She's tremendous. She does the best job at doing what needs to be done for the media, but also respecting and doing what the team needs. And she's been tremendous. And for them to fire her in the middle of the season and to say it's because she's not a cultural fit, like, your culture is wrong in that case. That's embarrassing. That should never happen to somebody like Amy Palsik.
She must have seen through him. Like, Amy said, we got to get rid of her.
Okay, next.
But if it means you're going to suck after that, no, I'm not doing it. I'm done with sucking.
Number four, I ask this all the time, but here we go again. Give me the best NFL fit for Jim Harbaugh.
I wouldn't hire him to cover the NFL for BSJ. Like, after
wow.
He just ran the 49ers and Michigan into the ground. Why would you hire him?
Did he really run the 49ers into the ground?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. They were pretty good while he was there. They sucked before he got there.
Why do you think they... Maz, did you forget? Like, they went 8-8. I think they went 4-12 his last season. He got fired. They hired Jim Tomsula. Did you blank out during that time?
Yeah, I think it was Jim Tomsula who went 4-12, but I'll double check. And also, they had the same players under Singletary, and they were terrible. He went there, and he started winning. But that aside, Houston, give him a quarterback. Give him Deshaun Watson, and he'll turn that thing around in no time at all.
I'm with Greg. I wouldn't let Jim Harbaugh sell me shoes. Get over this guy, Mass. It's not 8 years ago.
Seriously.
And let me give you a stat. He's now, this is unbelievable. He's 0-11 straight up as an underdog at Michigan, and they've lost those games by an average of 19 points per game. And you do something like that, you'll never be taken seriously again. Go away.
He's not a college coach.
Give him to the Jets and Trevor Lawrence.
Ugh.
There you go. There's some headlines.
If I had to pick one.
Bears. Next.
You suck. This sucks. Everything sucks. Patriots, no chance of winning another Super Bowl. How the heck are they going to do that? Their defense is still susceptible. They haven't faced a good quarterback. Nothing.
Okay, number three. After Sunday's monsoon, I ask you guys, what's your favorite weather game of all time? You don't necessarily even have to have been there. Just watched it, or, you know, what's your favorite weather game of all time?
Fog Bowl, Eagles, Bears. I couldn't see what was going on in the field, but I just thought it was cool.
Oh, the snow game with the Raiders. I mean, I go to that one every time. That was an absolutely epic football game, that one.
Pat's Raiders Snow Bowl. But a close second, Pat's Steelers 96 playoffs, which was like all fog. You couldn't see a damn thing.
Well, so you're talking about Bears-Eagles Fog Bowl, right, Greg?
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't remember you saying the teams. I just heard Fog Bowl. But, yeah, the Pat's had one, too. I wasn't even alive, but I'm sorry. The Ice Bowl, Packers, or I was one, whatever. Packers, Cowboys, that's the one. Next. Okay, you've been at these games, Greg, at Gillette. Has everyone gotten used to the empty stadiums, or is it still really weird being in those buildings?
It's still really weird. Like, you know, watching the game on television, it's just not very loud at Gillette, and I don't know if the Patriots are purposely doing that, that, you know, they want to hear what's going on, or I don't know. But I haven't been to another NFL stadium, so I don't have a frame of reference. I just, for some reason, not very, the din of the crowd noise is not as loud as I thought it would be. And it just, it's weird. It was sad to be getting ready for Ravens Patriots on Sunday Night Football and have no fans there. It was kind of sad.
Well, you know, you do have some control over the din of your crowd noise. They give you a range of decibels, right? And so the Patriots have it really, really low. You know what they're doing, Maz.
Cheating?
Rolling tape. They're rolling tape.
I bet you with all that rain, I bet you they let a little air out of the ball on Sunday night.
They're picking up whatever they can hear from the other side. I know it. Go. Murray, you have a thought?
No.
Okay,
I'm ready for number one.
Next.
Red Sox are ruined.
Okay, number one. If you had to bet on a Super Bowl matchup right now, Greg, what would it be? What two teams?
Saints, KC.
Saints?
I mean, we'll see with Breeze. You know, hopefully he gets back. But they were playing really good ball up until he got hurt the other night. You know, Dustin, the Bucks, that showed me a lot on the road. And I think KC, I think they have it wired. They're a much better defending Super Bowl champion than we're used to seeing.
Chiefs, Saints. I don't think there's anybody else in the NFC that can challenge New Orleans. And I think they're gonna be fine.
How long is Breeze supposed to be out?
Like a month.
Well, how many games did he miss last year and they went 5-0?
So is it Winston or is it Taysom Hill?
I don't think it matters.
No, they said they're going with Winston.
Yeah, I really don't think it matters. I think that their defense is good. And I don't know if they can win the Super Bowl, but I don't think anyone else in the NFC is good enough to beat them.
They'll find a way to screw it up like they always do. I still believe my AFC rep, Indianapolis. Seahawks, not so much anymore. So I'm going to go with the one that I'm hoping for, Arizona. I want Indy, Arizona in the Super Bowl.
And you still won't give Tommy Boy in Tampa the nod?
No, there's no way. They're going to get tripped up somehow.
No bye, no way.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. 10 questions in the books. Back to your phones. Couple open lines if you want to jump back on it. 617-779-0985 to you right after the update.
So you're a business that's thriving. But then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, phones as promised. Our buddy Curtis is in Lynn is back for more. Go ahead, Curtis.
Gentlemen, just real quick, you know, a little rope, Mike. I'm a little frazzled because I'm tickled. You actually used my question.
Yes, I did.
Badad about the Cam Newton, and it kind of threw me for a loop. And I'm actually a major in radio and television production, and I was a little mad at first. I didn't get credit, but that's probably the closest that I'll ever come to an actual sports interview. So on the radio, thank you for that. Bigger point though, I was thinking of you today, and I was like, I got to help Michael. You know, and Michael needs help. This algorithm thing he's got, he needs help. And I'm here to help you, and I want you to get at the issue of how
just
you hate this New England team. You hate this New England team. So I want you to lay down on Curtis's couch. I'm Dr. Curtis to you. And this little algorithm thing that you it's proof. It's evidence that you hate this team. You don't even like this team. You like the path. You like the path. You're into the idea of the path math, but you hate this team. It is categorically everything you essentially oppose about football is what this exact team is.
Curtis, how many times have we been over this? How many times have we been over this? I don't hate the Patriots. I hate you.
No, you hate the path.
No,
you love the path.
I do love the path. No, I like competition. I like competition, and I like the challenge, and I like the process. I like all of those things. And I'm fine with the Patriots on balance. I hate their arrogance. I hate the way they acted like they had all the answers. I think they're proving now they didn't. They're being proven that, a lot of their stuff that they espoused was fraudulent. But mostly I just hated Patriots fans. So we've been over that a million times. And that's pretty much how it breaks down. It's really not that hard to figure out. Right, Greg?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm not alone. Let me tell you that. James and Waltham has been hanging on with our Steelers conversation. Another group of fans I hate. Go ahead, James.
Yes.
Well, great. I have to follow that up. I was just commenting on the Steelers and Murray's delusional sort of notion that they're this good team. The Steelers haven't beat the Pats in the playoffs since 1997, and currently this season they've only beaten the Giants, the Broncos, the Texans, the Eagles, the Browns, the Titans, the Ravens, the Cowboys, which they barely beat, and the Bengals. The Titans is the only good team that they have actually beaten.
Hold on, Baltimore counts. You said they beat Baltimore?
Yes, Baltimore absolutely counts, but every other team in their division just turns into a puddle when they verse either Baltimore or the Steelers. and everybody else is a joke, especially the Cowboys. They lost by like
five
points against the Steelers.
Okay, I got you, James. So the Steelers haven't played anybody. Murray, your response.
Oh, now we're just going to discredit the Steelers. Yes, the Steelers can't beat Brady, not the Patriots. They couldn't beat Brady. Brady was their kryptonite. They don't have him anymore, so they're not beating him this year. They're the best team in the NFL. I hate them more than any other team in all of sports. It pains me to have to say that. They're better than everybody else.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're better than Kansas City, but they're good. I mean, they're one of the top five teams in the league. Like, I'll leave it at that. And I just think that if another team has to go into Pittsburgh other than Kansas City, they're going to have trouble.
And people want to go to that Cowboys game that was on national TV a few weeks ago. Like, oh, see, they're not that good. If anything, that's the kind of game that I'd like to see. Like, that's what you want to see a team play. Play, you know, they have to crawl back and beat a team when it feels like you have no business winning a game. They'll be better served for having a game like that.
Back to Curtis. Why I hate Patriots fans. Because for the last 20 years, we would correctly point out, factually point out, that the Patriots' schedule and division was garbage. One lamb after the next, year in, year out. One of the easiest schedules in the NFL. Just a pure fact, something we would point out most every day. And what would Patriots fans do most every day? Well, they beat everybody else, too. And they how many reams of stats? I'm sure you get it, too, Greg. Reams of stats that you would get proving that the AFC East doesn't suck. And their schedule was actually hard. And they actually beat everybody else, too. So the pushback you would get from Patriots fans by just simply pointing out the fact that their schedule year in, year out sucks. Now, the Steelers are off to an 8-0 start. And what do Patriots fans call and tell you?
The schedule. Who have they played?
You people.
Oh, it's a given.
Curtis, this is why I hate you. You just, there's just a little snippet of what I'm talking about. What are we expecting this week against Houston? Long commercial-free segment. Next, we will hit on it.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for.
Boo!
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady slipping away. Motions downfield. It's incomplete. Jacoby Myers, the rookie, was covered there by Lonnie Johnson. Rookie out of Kentucky, and it's fourth down.
That man coverage was good, and that man right there is getting frustrated because guys are not getting open. Across the board there, I could see all four guys in the route out in man coverage, and nobody was open. But so far, my lasting impression of this game was Tom Brady going off the field that last time.
Oh, baby.
Right?
Oh, baby.
That's what we're talking about here. It has been that way this entire season. And for all the greatness of Tom Brady, he has not been able to crack the code so far with this group of offensive players.
And they're 10-1 in good measure, of course, because that defense has been so suffocating. Special teams ain't bad either.
So that's what it sounded like the last time the Patriots went to Houston. I just play that because remember that, Maz, that was at Houston. It was December 1st, and Michael just said it. They were 10-1.
Right.
They were effing 10-1. And it was early in the game. I want to say it was like the first or second quarter. Like, I felt it was like the first, second, or third drive of the game. And Brady's coming off the field, and he takes his helmet, and he almost slams it, but sort of tosses it. Do you remember this?
Yes, of course.
And that's what they were reacting to. And that you just go back and you look, you say, holy moly, they were 10-1. It was a 7-3 game after the first quarter. It wasn't like they were out of the game. And Brady was already out of the thing. He was already done with it. And it's sort of a contrast with where we are now. Sort of feels like that was the time where it was the beginning of the end when it really shouldn't have been. I mean, they were in it. But, if you know, you could just sort of sense and feel the beginning of the end. And now you wonder if they're headed there and if the arrow's finally pointed back in the right, you know, in the right direction. And I don't know. Hopefully that's been their bottom. That starting at around that point in the season last year through the Jets game or the fumble in Buffalo, like that's their bottom. Where they were under 500 or whatever their record was over that time, right? It was 7-9 or 7-10 or something like that. That's sort of their bottom, and now they're on their way back out. And this trip to Houston is going to be a little bit different. But it just, you forget what a sourpuss Brady was. And, you know, Collinsworth, you know, then did an interview and talked about those things, about, you know, what Brady had been telling these guys in the production meetings. Go ahead and play that sound with Dan Patrick.
Can you read between the lines with what Tom Brady is saying
about the offense or lack thereof. What, you know, I know there's frustration. They usually keep everything in-house. Is there something that we're missing with what Brady is saying here?
He gave us a line that was the most unbelievable line that we never put on television. I simply can't believe we didn't put it on. His opening line was, I have to be the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the history of the league. And and somehow we didn't get that on. I have no idea why we didn't.
I know Collinsworth wants to. He probably was told not to. It was too flammable. But how do you like that? 8-0 undefeated, and he comes into the network production meeting and tells these guys, I'm the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the history of the league. So
let's out. He had already checked out. Again, he had told Kraft 2 years before that, more than 2 years before that, that he wanted out of the contract.
So just sort of reliving it as we head back to Houston. How do you shake up this matchup, Greg? Give me your thoughts.
I just think that the Texans are in a rough place. I mean, we're talking about two of the worst defensive teams in the league in this one. I mean, they're challenged defensively. They have some nice pieces. They have not been able to make it mesh this year. Cornell and those guys have not figured it out. They have Watt. They still have Merciless. You know, they have some good players at safety and some nice pieces, like, you know, Reed and Michael Adams, but they can't. Roby's a good cornerback, but they can't make it work. I think it should be open for the Patriots to run the ball a bit in this game, as long as they take care of Watt, who they take care of every time they play them. And I think offensively, the Texans are sort of the inverse of the Patriots in that they have good skill players, or at least decent skill players, but they have no offensive line outside of Tunsil at left tackle. So they're challenged on both sides of the ball. I mean, this is a game where the Patriots should go in and continue their improvement on both sides of the ball. I'll be interested to see, you know, how they line up defensively, whether they keep Winovich in more of a stand-up linebacker role, which I thought was a possibility early on in the season. I saw enough good stuff, including in his pass drops, that I think they should move him full-time to inside linebacker, but we'll see if that continues.
Greg, up until, I want to say, like week 7 or 8, there was a team in the NFL that had not forced a single turnover all year. Was that the Texans? Do I have that right?
I think you're right. That sounds familiar.
So, like, this should play to the Patriots' strength. Like, if you think about that, they went 2 months without getting a turnover from the other team.
That's insane.
That's, like, mathematically impossible, you would think. Just by chance, you would get a fumble. And so, I mean, for a Patriots team now, they've tightened it up. So they haven't turned the ball over. But this feels like offensively, you know, this should be a layup for the Patriots.
Houston's two wins are against the Jaguars. That's it.
Okay, so that's...
I mean, look,
go ahead.
They played the Titans. They were in overtime with the Titans. The Packers wasn't much of the game. They played the Browns tough last week. Steelers, they played tough. You know, but, yeah, this is a game, if the Patriots are going anywhere, they should be able to win and not have to go down to the last possession and Cam Newton fumbling or not fumbling on the last possession.
Let me tell you something, Murray. I'm a man of my word.
Yes.
Well, mostly. I know I took it back after the Jets. So maybe I'm not, when it comes to this, I'm not totally a man of my word. But let me give you another one. I said last week that
if they lost to Houston, you would tap out.
Right. The path is over if they lose to Houston. Just because they beat Baltimore and sort of stole a win from the loss column, if you will, I'm not going to change my mind on that.
Really?
Really. If they lose in Houston, and I'm done. That's it.
Wow.
You won't hear from me
you
anymore.
You got them out here. Because, again, they steal a win no one really saw coming. Huh. Oh, all right. Well, that's very fair of you.
Because this is the whole deal. You got to clean up on those winnable games.
They should kill this team.
Okay, so they should. If they're improving and the arrow's pointing up and they're on this, about to, quote-unquote, go on this run, which I think they are, you don't go down to Houston and lose to a Houston team that's playing out the string. You just, that doesn't compute. You're not doing that. So if they lose in Houston, I'm out, Murray.
All right, Jimmy, mark the tape.
Wow, Houston's 0-7 against everyone other than Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that blows.
Don't lose that game. Don't lose that game.
Imagine if it's 3-7 against anyone other than Jacksonville and New England.
Okay, but just to reset it, Greg, just so we know where you stand, you believe there is a path for this Patriots team?
I do. I think the Patriots, even when I reassessed at 3-5, I think it was, I chalked up the Ravens game as a loss. The other loss I had for them on the schedule was the Rams coming down the stretch. So either the Rams or the Chargers game. So I think it's still there. I think Arizona coming here. Yes, Kyler Murray's good. They pulled one out of their tuchus last week against the Bills. But I think every game to finish the season is winnable for the Patriots.
Okay, I like it. Greg, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll catch you next Tuesday.
All right. See you guys.
Greg. Okay, Greg Bedard on Boston Sports Journal. Give him a read. Give him a subscription on his fine site. Let's get to the NBA and the Celtics, shall we? A
lot going on in that league.
Things are percolating. Love that league. Love that league's offseason. There's just stuff flying around all the time. And some of it comes to fruition. Some of it already has. So we have breaking news on the Celtics and Gordon Hayward. We have, I don't want to say it's hard news, but reporting. Anyway, we have breaking reporting on the status of Gordon Hayward and the Celtics. Breaking reporting on trades from across the league involving the Celtics or involving Celtics teams that they are in direct competition with. All of that, those details and our thoughts on it, right after Murray's. You'll get some of them right here. And in the 90-second update, no commercials.
Football is in mid-season form, and there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. To celebrate week 11 of the football season, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So, download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Again, enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Code SPORTSHUB, only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.